Good morning, everybody, and good evening in other parts of the world. Welcome to our Sunday live talk. We've got some really good questions come through. It'll be quite interesting to answer, but I hope everyone's going well during the current situations. So anyway, I'll get started with the questions because it takes quite a while to get through, especially sometimes with the in-depth answers and stuff like that. So first of all, Michelle. Hi Mark, I've been working through the video you made to help the horse pass me. It's awesome. Thanks, Michelle. I hope it helps out. It is an area where I think some people are finding it a little tricky, especially when they've gone from having energy to move a horse out and get it going, opposed to kind of getting it to lead through or think out and get the horse to make a decision where it sort of is more self-motivated to do it. And it's a kind of a difficult one. And I'm not saying to everybody that, there's not times that you add some stimulant to create energy, but it's so easy just to kind of cut corners and I'll just step in and push and step in and push. And sometimes we don't get the accuracy to the lead rope as we need it. She's going pretty good, but on the offside, she can try and nip me and also make strange neigh noises, which she does when I hop off it. It's like a mating neigh. Is this normal? Should I ignore it? There's a little horse that I helped a while ago that did the same, and I've come across this a couple of times in mares. And yeah, there was another lady that I used to help, and basically, I believe it is something to do with breeding, and it's like a mating neigh. Like the this particular little Arab mare that the owner, when she'd be standing in a certain position, sometimes it was when she was getting off her, she'd kind of make this neigh and sort of, it's almost like she's horsing kind of thing. Yes, it is something that I guess is, I guess you could say, a hormonal sort of mating thing, and there's something that in her that when you're doing certain things provokes that. The horse that we kind of worked with that was doing it, that I had sort of hands-on help with, because it was every now and again when she was getting off, we didn't make a deal of it. We just kind of left it alone. Now, if you're trying to ask your horse to walk past you and you're trying to guide it and think about things and it becomes a little problem that she gets on that side and gets a bit like that, then you might have to nip it in the butt and sort of tell her that, this is not something that I'm asking for, because it isn't. It's, you're just asking her to think out and go past you and that sort of thing. So in saying that, I would probably curve it. So start off with the nipping. So if the nipping is in relation to the noises and it's like a, that whole thing's all together, I would definitely change what she's thinking on that one. So you could just stop the process for a second, as in, say for instance, you were just getting her to lead past you and that kind of started, you could just stop your feet and just don't ask her through any, and maybe just change your thought a little, whether you sort of just, clap your hand on your leg or you've got a little flag and bang, whatever, just kind of switch the mind off it for a second. Stand a little and then go about asking her past again, and instead of kind of asking her at the same time and trying to stop her and just get her to stop a little, center, you stop a little, center her, reset her thoughts, and then say, now can we just think over there and pass me please, and just put a stop on it, but I would actually definitely stop my feet and stop the leading pass process for a moment, and then I would tend to you know, see that she's had a change and she settles a little, and then she's back on to thinking about what you're asking, and then I'd ask again. So it's like in any sort of training, is when the horse gets a strong intention or a strong idea, or something on their mind, you stop asking the question that you were asking them, and you've kind of recenter them. So when you ask the question that you're asking, they're in the best possible learning frame of mind. So yeah, if you can sort of see it like that, just reset that, stop, okay, she said it again, we've changed that, now let's try again, and have a stop in between. Don't try and keep asking and hey, don't do that, and otherwise you're kind of putting more pressure on, and you could actually you know, provoke it a little more by trying to keep doing something with her and sort of stop the behavior, and it could become a bit of a you know, some horses that are nippy, it becomes a little nip fight with her, with that sort of Mary type behavior. You know, it could be a little bit more provocative if you were to sort of, you know, keep sort of trying to guide her, and while she was in that frame of mind, you would probably stimulate it more. So yeah, thanks very much, and it's an interesting question, that. And it's probably normal. When you say, is it normal, should I ignore it? Is it normal? Well, yeah, it's normal for her. And it's very rare you come across it, but she's probably the third or fourth horse that I've kind of come across or heard about that does it. I've come across personally two that did similar things, or three possibly, I think, if I remember back. But it's not sort of something you come across every day, but it is out there, you know. So Denise, I would like some tips on getting my young horse to stretch low at the walk and trot. Now, first of all, when you say young horse, Denise, I know it's really good to see a horse stretch. Now, a stretch is different than just a lowering of the head. So it's kind of like they lift out and they reach and stretch, and that kind of keeps them kind of, you know, they kind of telescope, I suppose. So their wither will stay high, and they'll stay light in the shoulders, and they'll stretch. Now, but I will say this is, a young horse that's soft and hasn't been, if its mind hasn't been kind of hardened, and its body hasn't been hardened, and it's kind of just floating along, some of those horses, you know, I wouldn't say they need to do a lot of stretching to sort of release that tension and then sort of come back up into sort of some sort of frame again. Purely because a lot of young horses are pretty supple. Now, in saying that, you know, when I was, you know, if you got a horse that's been ridden for 6 months and it's starting to brace up, and it's only ever learnt to carry itself kind of braced and up, and it's starting to stiffen through the body and not carry itself fluent and soft and carry itself as a natural, you know, because a lot of horses will have a natural collection about them because they're just happy about moving, so they're moving comfortably, and then we sort of get in their way with all our stuff, and then that's when they start to sort of, you know, travel with more tension and stiffness, and they lose that. But I'm not saying all horses. Some horses are just naturally plonking along, and they're kind of heavy in the shoulders, and they're, you know, they just use minimal effort, and yeah, they're harder ones to kind of get up and really start to stretch. And so first of all, if you want your horse to stretch low at the walk and trot, why do you want it first? Is there a reason? So is your horse stiff, and do you think does it need it? That's what I say. Does your horse need to stretch because it's carrying itself up and stiff, and it's got to stretch first to release and relax, and then go, oh wow, I can do this now. Now I can come up and just travel along. Now, if your horse is just traveling along, its head's about the same height as the wither, and it's just comfortable and just moves free, you don't have to think that you need to get him to stretch and stretch. And I tend to think that a horse that needs to stretch is one that's kind of hasn't been able to do that under saddle, and the most exasperated kind of releases, the most dramatic releases that you see on a horse are the ones that have been tied all their life, and then all of a sudden someone says, hey, change your thought a little, centre, and the horse goes, oh, that was good, and then the person just releases on them and lets go, and that horse goes, oh, that's good. And have you ever seen a horse after kind of a very strict dressage test when the rider lets go and pats it for doing a good job and the horse goes, oh, okay. It's almost like they kind of do this dramatic release. So the most dramatic releases and stretches on a horse come when they're probably carrying more tension. But the horses that are just happy, that whole desire to go, oh, is not so, you know, it's not something that they want to do because they're happy just carrying themselves like a normal horse, which is just head up normal and just traveling along. So firstly, do you need it? That's the question I'd ask. If your horse is tense, right, I'm going to give you the pathway that I'd offer someone if your horse is carrying tension and just generally needs to relax and let down and stretch out, okay? Now, if your horse stretches out, next thing I'd like to say, if your horse starts to stretch and reach and stretch, if it does it all the time, then you've got a problem upstairs. What I mean upstairs is when the horse comes back up to that nice level playing field up normal where it can look around and things like that and just travel. If it goes up there and goes, oh no, I don't like it up here, I've never liked it up here, and goes back out, then some of those horses hide, and actually them putting their head down when they're traveling actually doesn't really help them a lot, because some of them still stay stiff and they just plonk along. And so some horses that carry their head low, like, you know, you see some Western horses that have been encouraged to carry their head low, but they've got into this kind of short stride, heavy in the shoulder sort of thing, because people haven't addressed that. So carrying their head low is not necessarily going to mean they're going to stretch and telescope and soften right through the top line and their hindquarter travels through nice and free and soft and they're still light in the shoulders. So basically what I would do on a horse is sort of carrying up and generally a little tense. Generally why a horse is up and tense is because it's not really in the moment. It's somewhere else. It could be still at the yards. It's carrying tension about the rider. It's carrying tension about being away from its mates. It's generally carrying tension from not understanding all the aids that we're offering them. So you know, I would just teach a horse to understand some of my tools at a walk. You know, can you, you know, so what I would just try and do is I tend to just take a little inside rein. So basically when I'm riding a horse, I feel them kind of go tight and lift and kind of get their head up and their thoughts go. So I'll pick up an inside rein, and that inside rein is to sort of cause a change in direction, but it's got to cause a change in intention and thought, because the horse will come left a little and go, oh, and then they'll kind of loosen a little and just relax, okay? And I just try and get them to follow an inside rein with their thoughts and just come around a little, and you'll feel them slow a little bit, and you'll see them, their ears go hook onto the turn a little bit. And then after the turn, as you release, they're going, I'm thinking about you. And then that's when you breathe out and just let them go and just let them relax. And as soon as they kind of tighten up, get a little lost or get a little biased in the way that they're going, that means they're kind of getting that tension and that thoughts going, then you just say, hey, come over here a little, think over here, and you'll feel them soften into that rein a little. Now, you might have to hold it a little longer till you get more of a little turn on them and they sort of soften and then let them out. And I found that on a horse that's tired, after they know they can kind of relax and stay centered with you, the rest kind of happens itself. I'm not a trainer that, and it's not because I don't necessarily agree with it, it's just because I don't tend to do it. It's not part of the things. So, you know, I think people who would follow someone like Philippe Carle, he's a classical French dressage trainer, he has a way of a horse reaching into the contact and reaching down in, and it's the way they train their horses. It's not something I do. Personally, I'm not going to say pros or cons on it. I'm just going to say it's not something I do. what I just try and do is get them to sort of get soft in their mind and just travel, and they'll start to relax and they'll find a comfortable spot. The horses that have been up tight will tend to go lower and stretch and just kind of, but once they're happy, they should come back up within two or three rides and come into a normal position. So that's one way. Another way for some of the tighter horses that are just traveling tight is I teach them to do little shoulder yields, and it's kind of another way of getting them to soften to the inside rein. And basically what it is I just take the rein up, and you kind of got to teach them this a little first, but it really works well at a trot, but you can teach them at a walk. But it teaches them, I've seen a lot of horses just relax and kind of loosen up on it. So it's, you pick up the inside rein, you take it halfway up their neck, and you push it out as if you're going to take it across, you know, to say for instance, if you're looking down your horse's neck and you can see the ears, that'd be sort of 12 o'clock in a straight line. And then if you were to sort of, you know, pick your hand up and put it against their neck a little, and then take it across as if you're looking out and pushing towards say 1:30, and then if you were going the other way, it'd be 10:30, 11 kind of thing. So you go 10:30, 11 o'clock, and that would take the shoulders, you know, like that. And that lesson there, when a horse kind of gets tight, when you pick up the inside rein, you just take the shoulders out, and then you just loosen and let them out, and just take them out and loosen and let them out. And that lesson, they kind of loosen, soften on the rein. It takes a lot of brace out of them physically. It also takes that mental brace out of them. And then they kind of go, oh, and then they just release into that rein and go. Years ago, and this goes back to Pierre's question, it's a question I'm going to come across shortly, it was about fiddling, a bit of light contact. Now you can, something I used to do, and it does work, but you've got to kind of be careful, is I used to just pick up a contact till a horse released a brace, and then kind of relaxed a little and let them out, and then they'd kind of go out and stretch. That was another thing I did, but I tend to maybe, yeah, and you can still do that, but I tend to take the rein up and just take them on a little turn, get them to loosen up into their turn, and just relax out, and when they tighten up and their head comes up and tight, you just take it, and then they'll find their own spot. You know, don't think that they've got to go stretching right out and down on the ground, because you saw videos of horses down stretched and loosening up. Don't think, if your young horse is already pretty half soft anyway and not carrying a lot of tension, don't think that they've got to telescope out and do this big stretch if they're already a fairly soft, free moving horse. So I hope that helps you a little bit, Denise. Just at the walk and the trot, you know, start it. Fiona, us again. So Clipper is really easy to move around on the ground with a halter on, but with a bridle, it's like leading an anvil. And that's a really common thing. And I've come, you know, all the horses that I started over the years, you get them leading up in a halter, you'd start to lead them, especially then you go down a hill and they're above you and got to come down the hill and they kind of lean. And then all of a sudden the bit's in an awful position and they kind of think, ah, there's the bit. And it's kind of of course they feel the bit a little bit first. I think it kind of sort of gets in their way before that pole pressure comes and they go, oh, I've got to lead forward. So it's a very common thing that horses get kind of heavy because, and then the harder we press, sometimes it just pushes a bit on their mouth opposed to pull a little bit more pressure on their pole, and they get you know, quite stuck. So I was thinking about that, and there's the old classic way, and you would have probably learnt this, Fiona, somewhere along the way, and you know, whether it be through Pony Club or something, but you know, you have your horse here and then you put your dressage stick up behind and you tap 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 and they come forward, and tap 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 and they come forward. And I think people that were leading their horses in hand in a bridle would tend to do that because it was a good way, an easy way to do it, because you weren't pulling on your horse so much. It was more so your ass with a little feel and then you tap tap and the whip did the rest. And that's why they did that. The only catch was you know, you were sort of chasing your horse from behind a little, and then when people did it in the halter and stuff like that, it never really fixed the pullback. So that is something you could do, like, but what I would tend to do is, instead of kind of chasing the horse with a stick, or I just kind of have the saddle on, and I just maybe tap on the saddle to create a little bit of a noise that gets that horse to move a little faster, instead of kind of tapping it on the rump and getting kind of, you know, because there's a big common thing that people say to me, you know, my horse gets irritated when I tap it with a stick. And well, of course it's going to get irritated when you tap it with a stick. So I tend to kind of tap the saddle or something like that, and you cause a little desire, and the horse moves forward a little bit of energy because of the noise, and the horse goes, oh yeah, yeah, righto, you just want me to come forward. But so if you were doing it like that, I'd be very careful that you're not over chasing your horse. You're just saying, I'm taking a little feel, tap tap on the saddle. Or even if you had a flag at your leg and you just tapped your leg and the horse went, oh, I'll shuffle forward a bit. You're just getting a little bit of energy, so you're not pulling on your horse's head too much. If it's a bit of a problem too, I'd have the halter on underneath. And the other thing you could do is if now when you say your horse leads really nice to move around on the ground with the halter, then basically you have the halter, so you just have the reins and the halter, and you just kind of have them a fairly close, so you're not going to pull much on the bit. And you have the halter lead and the reins. So when you pull, there's a little bit of pressure start to go on the pole, but then basically if you pulled any harder, you're not going to pull the reins down in your horse's mouth. It goes to the halter. And you could sort of, you know, say to your horse, I'm going to, even if you had two hands and you just said, I'm going to lead you with this, and then you just press the halter and say, come through with that pole pressure, until when you lift the reins a little in the bridle, then basically your horse will start to come through a little better, and it's not going to pull down on the horse's mouth so much. Because also, yeah, when you're pulling forward, you know, your horse's head like is hanging, and then you're pulling like that with a bridle sometimes, and then that's why the bit sometimes pulls on your horse's mouth before it puts on pressure on the pole. So you kind of got to think about that. But basically, once the horse understands, when you lift up on the weight of the reins, and that's why I really try and show people when they're leading with a halter, when you lift up on that weight, as soon as that connective feel comes on that horse is to loosen up and go with it. And you really do that a lot of times until your horse is really soft at it, and then the connective feel of the rein will just make him come forward. He's just got a bad memory, the bit hanging onto his mouth, and he goes, oh, I'm not going to come forward to that. And you've got to say, well, actually, if you come forward, that bit won't hang on your mouth, and that's the kind of important thing. It's just going to be that pole pressure like leading, and you've just got to, you know, like I said, find ways that you don't have to pull any harder on the bit, and then say, now I'm going to take the other stuff away. See, you can do it without the pressure on your mouth, and it just a little bit more education will go into that. So yeah, I hope that helps you out, Fiona. So Megan, I need a reminder of what to do with the outside rein when I'm asking for a change of direction. Pride the Clydesdale gets very fixed in her thoughts, as you know. Love affair with the gate, Milo, etc. Yeah, love affair with going back to where she felt, you know, the last place of her comfort and safety and all that is always that place where the horse will want to be. When I'm trying to redirect her thoughts with a direction change, we tend to balloon out through the outside shoulder. What contact rein position should I use? So it's very common, and you would have learnt this, Megan. I can see you listening too, that's good. You would have learnt this, that and everyone tends to learn it, as you kind of put more pressure on the outside rein to kind of block your horse from blowing out through those shoulders, and that becomes a kind of a band-aid, and you've got to be very careful with having a band-aid on your horse, as you know. So if you know, so I'm just trying to work it out. Say I'm going to try center, I'm going to use that. So what happens, the screen always gives me a mirror image, so I get very confused when I do these things. So I've got my hands in the middle. So you can imagine that your hands start close to your horse's wither. And so you So basically you're coming up to a corner and that hand's coming out, okay? And then a lot of people just end up taking their rein wider and wider and wider, okay? And what happens is the horse just bends further and further and further and kind of just keeps going out through the shoulders. So basically, when I come into a corner and I think my horse might leak, now if you're kind of like what some people would say, if you've done all your homework and you've got your horse off that magnet, then basically the horse will follow the rein. But basically also there's times when horses will have a little magnetism here and there and or stronger magnetism, and if you've done your homework and you've got to sort of say this rein means something right now, I need you to follow it, okay? So you're riding along, your hand starts to come out, and then you can feel your horse not think with the rein straight away, okay? Usually you can feel it pretty quickly that they didn't switch onto that rein. So that's why I sort of pick up the rein, pick up the weight of the rein, and she's probably going to, as soon as you pick up the weight of the rein, she's either going to flick an ear, and she might flick an ear and recognise the rein's connected, but then she go, yeah, righto, I know what you're going to turn me, and I'm going to leak. And she still might leak, so just because she flicked an ear and acknowledged that you picked up the rein doesn't necessarily mean she's going to turn. So but it's very important that you pick up the weight of the rein to put a little feel on through the rein to say, this is the rein and I'm going to prepare to steer. So you're giving her time to go, okay, I'm with you, I'm coming with the position, okay? So then when you see her flick that ear, you say, now I'm going to take the rein to get you to steer over here. So if she was to steer and not blow out through the shoulder, you just go centre back, and you just go, and she'll make that increment and you'll centre, and then she'll just travel a little bit and feel good about it, okay? If you take that rein, she flicks the ear, but then you take it to a position that's slightly out to get her to turn and follow ahead, she'll start to leak. Now, instead of going big and wide with that rein and going, don't leak, I would try to take that rein out and start to lift it up like that. Now, lifting it up will make her go, oh, hang on a minute, that's different. That's coming up in my mouth, and it's encouraging my shoulder to want to lift up because of the angle of it. Whereas if you just take the rein out and wide, she'll just hang her nose, and some of them will just twist their nose out and just blah, blah, glue out through the side. Okay, so start to lift it, and maybe even you can sort of keep a lift on it until she goes, hang on, even if she stops and goes, oh, hang on a minute, what was that? So obviously this is teaching her at a slower speed to get her used to it, like at a walk. And then she'll stop and go, okay, that sort of was different. And then from there, after she stops and thinks about it, you can go, okay, now she might stop a little bit bent, or she might step in. If she steps in and thinks in, then you just let her go. But what I'm trying to say is don't just take your rein wider, kind of just lift it up, still have it out. Otherwise, if it was against your horse's neck, you'd teach the horse to go out. So that's one way to help your horse kind of, think with the rein. And you hang on to that rein, and she might start to, and you firm up until she goes click and she changes, and then she goes off kind of towards the direction that you're wanting to steer her, and then you let her off and center the reins. So that's if you're using an inside rein. Another thing that I do on horses that have this is more especially for the ones that have done 50,000 lateral flexes and especially the horses that have done a lot of Western performance training, where the person's got a bit too bendy and they've been riding the front end with the spurs. So they've been using that the spurs to kind of move the shoulders and the reins just to get the horse's head all shaped. So those horses, when they've started to sort of give up a little bit and get a little strong-minded, they just bend, and because they can bend anywhere. They've been taught they can bend like a contortionist. They can just bend and it doesn't mean anything. So some of those horses will just bend, and no matter how you lift the rein, no matter how you do anything, they just keep hiding because they've been taught, I've got to bend or else, and they'll just keep bending, and it won't translate to their feet. So basically, if your horse is doing that, and you could try this with your horse too, this is when you use the outside rein. So, but you don't use the outside rein just to block and push them over. If I come up to a corner, I pick up the inside rein, same as I was saying before, pick it up, see if she'll flick an ear to it, put a little feel to the inside to say, I want you to come to the inside now with your thoughts and come around the corner. when she goes, no, I'm going to blow out, instead of pulling the rein further and knowing that the horse might just keep bending, then I would take the outside rein, I'd say that door's closed, and I'd just take two reins, and I'd even take the inside rein back and just put a gentle back up on it, or I'd stop and say, so if you're to walk, you could put a back up on her. If you're to trot, you'd probably come back to a stop and then back her off a little and then say, now follow the rein. And then you just keep presenting that to her. So you basically, when she leans out, you use the outside rein to say, that door's closed, come back, reset, recenter, let's try again. And that's what I do to the horses that tend to be over bendy, the super duper bendy ones. Whereas the ones that aren't so bendy just get a bit lost every now and again. You probably can hang on and lift that inside rein and they might just switch onto it. Okay, the other trick, Megan, is take the turn before the stronger magnet point. So, and cut the corner a little tighter and teach her to cut the corner or cut across the circle or things like that a little more. Instead of getting to the point, you know, she's going to really push and then say, hey, turn. I'd actually try and set it up so she does a turn before she gets to that strong point and break her thoughts a little early. Or you could just come to a turn or a corner, slow her down a little, you know, do some little slow down, speed up transitions to see if she'll think about you. And then when she's sort of distracted from over there, she might just take that turn. You know, you just got to be a little creative. Thanks, Megan. That was a good question. But basically after a while, if you use that outside rein approach, it's not you block her with the outside rein. You just say that door's closed and she bounces back off that door a little, resets her thoughts, and then you say, let's try again. And yes, you will slow her feet down. And yes, you're not going to keep trotting. But after a while, she'll realize if you offered the inside rein, she didn't take it. She only goes into a closed door to be reset and then try again. Okay, so yeah, you might have a bit of a go with both. So we're going to go, where have I got to here? I've got palm cards here too. So Pierre. Now this is an interesting question. This kind of goes in and I see it links up with Amanda's, which I'll get to. Because it kind of all links into reins and also for you, Megan, too. It's all rein stuff. But on the feedback from my video, you commented on the contact. I do tend to have a slight back and forth half halt, if you can call it that. I've tried to get rid of that and go with a steady contact, as you mentioned, but that only invites a brace. Yes, you are correct on that, Pierre. It will invite a brace. But it shows you that the brace is in there, and that's an important thing, and some confusion. Did I inadvertently teach Jack to brace to a steadier rein? With a question mark, yes. Yes, you possibly did. I'll explain when I've finished your question, because it's a journey that we all go through, and I went through this little journey at some stage of... you know, going, holy cow, did I just teach my horse to brace by being a little bit addicted to helping the horse soften? I've been working on the backup with lots of transitions. I could see he was confused, so I stopped. I went back to my wiggle, which he seems to be quite responsive to. Thoughts? Okay, I'm glad you asked that question, and because it's a question that I bring up often at clinics, because it's a very, very common thing, and the people who sort of got used to doing it know how well it works. And when I was riding young horses for years, I'd take a feel and then I'd just give them a little bit of a, like if you guys can see it, I just did a little bit of this. So when I watched Pierre's video, I was just correcting a just a little bit of a, like a feel like that, and it helps them loosen. The bit just moves in their mouth, and it's a nice way to get them to kind of loosen up and come back into the reins. And I thought, wow, this is great. Okay, this works really well. I'll use it, because, you know, in snaffle bits, a lot of people will say that you have to kind of, you know, use alternate pressure and things like that. But anyway, going on, what I realized and what I started to see was I'd see horses that were doing a dressage test, or they were hacking, and they were sort of 10-year-old horses that have had a fair bit of education, yet every time that horse would lock onto the reins, the person would go, jiggle, 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 and the horse would come back, and then the horse would lock a bit, and then they'd go jiggle, 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 and the horse would come back, and it was like, wow, that's interesting. And I didn't really think about it at the time, till one day I was ponying a young horse off a pony horse that I had, and he always had a bit of brace in him, and I'd give him a little wiggle, and he could bend his head and then come back into a back up, and, you know, thought I was doing a good job. And then I was ponying a horse riding one-handed, and I was thinking about it, you know, I was out on trail and he used to get a little bit competitive with the other horse, and, you know, and then this is quite a few years ago, and I was going, you know, you get, and I'd pick up a feel on him, but he'd hang on and he'd kind of brace in the jaw, and I'm like, wow. So I'd have to get my other hand over and I'd go diggle, diggle, and he'd come back in, and right there I sort it out and he'd come back. But it got me thinking, if I can't pick up the reins one-handed and just kind of pick up a little feel on him and get him to come back, I've got a problem. I shouldn't have to bring that hand over and sort of fix it. And I hope that's kind of getting onto the subject to helping you with the answer, Pierre. That was probably, if I was to remember, the point in my life that I went, ah, this is like an addiction. And it's almost like we're taking the responsibility away from the horse and we're actually giving them a cue that actually gets them to kind of loosen up a little. But if they can't just loosen up to the feel of the rein as it picks up and comes through, then we've got to do this. Then all of a sudden, yes, we have taught them to brace on a set rein because we haven't taught them how to fix it themselves. Now, that when the story I just said is when I was riding more with legs, as in I used my seat and my legs a lot more. When the reins weren't working, I'd put an inside leg on, for instance, or things like that. And I used to use my legs. When I decided I wanted to do an experiment, and the people who know me eight years ago, I think it's around that eight, I met Ross Jacobs at a clinic. He came to sit one of my clinics, and I got talking to him at the end of the day, and I went, what do you think? And he said, yeah, I like the, you know, the things, but he said on that up the fence there, I wouldn't have put your leg on the hindquarter yield. And I went, oh, okay. And I got thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, and then I'd know I was riding young horses out thinking all the time, thinking, what am I doing? And then finally the penny dropped, and part of the penny drop was that horse I just told you about when I was ponying, you know, and riding one-handed and getting him to want to soften. And the other penny drop was when I wanted those reins to really get to the horse's feet, because I wanted to know how to ride, you get the horse to understand the reins through the whole body without riding my legs, and I realized what happens, my legs were interfering with the reins, as in, the horse would start to think about the legs. Sometimes they'd speed up, and then I never quite got the rein right. So then I took my legs off and started holding on to the rein, trying to get a change on my horses. And what I realised was we have to teach them to understand a set rein, because when we start to direct their hindquarters and things like that, we can't just wiggle and get the horse to loosen. We've got to get them to loosen, and then indirect pressure transfers down to those hind feet, and they step over. And that pressure from the reins comes back and transfers to their hind feet. And what I was noticing when I did too much wiggling to get them to break in the pole and the jaw, sometimes when I set on the rein a little to get it through to their feet, they'd kind of brace and push. And, you know, so the horse had only ever shuffled back. And in your video, Pierre, I remember sort of there's a bit there where your horse did got out of the two-beat rhythm, and that's where that set rein needs to come in and say, hey, carry through a little stronger there. And things like that. So you will cause a brace, but you have to be careful about it. And so you have to kind of go back to the start. So because you did find that you're teaching your horse to brace, or you thought you're teaching brace with the set rein, you went back to the wiggle. And that's what everyone does. Oh, I just got a brace there, I'm going to wiggle them soft. But then 10 years down the track, when you take up a set rein to draw in and get that to go through to your horses, you know, go right through the body, you might have to wiggle again, and you think, well, 10 years down the track, I shouldn't have to have a wiggle up to get that horse to loosen. They should just loosen up. So what I would tend to do, there's a lesson I teach people, and it's the way you pick up the rein and the way you present the pressure for a while to take the brace out of the horse is kind of a nice smooth rhythm, and you do it in a set sort of speed. So something I do, and if I've got a little bit of cable here, which I'll see if I can find, yes I do, is I basically, now when I teach rope skills and stuff like that, so something I do is I'll instead of grabbing the rein like that and pulling, I'll actually have my other hand here, and I might just slide the rein up like that, and I'll pick up the weight and slide the rein, and that rein, the rein just gently slides with an even pressure up to, if you're using one rein or if you're using two reins, it just slides the reins up in an even fashion that gives a nice consistent coming up, the weight's picking up, right? I can feel the weight picking up. And then basically when the weight picks up and you get to that connected feel, not enough to put a brace in them, but you feel them just start to feel a little bit more pressure. When you feel your horse start to go on them and just not think and lean, that's when you kind of set and put a bit of draw on it. Okay, so you actually, instead of coming into your horse with a firm pressure and just crowding your horse's mouth, I suppose, what you're going to do is you're still offering a set pressure, but you're taking it up in such a sort of even, smooth way that your horse feels it come, and then it starts to, and right before the pressure's firm, you'll feel the horse either want to loosen or want to push. If they want to push and brace, then you can sort of set on it a little and say, no, and then wait and hang in there till they loosen and back off a little. So maybe you can try that in a backup to start with. Just pick up a sort of draw, feel the weight just starts to pick up, that's enough to get your horse to want to loosen and come back through into the backup. But if your horse chooses to push, that's when you say that door's closed, and you put a bit of feel on it and it will firm it up a little, and then the horse goes, oh, I just pushed into that. Oh, I might try something different. So instead of the set pressure feeling like you're coming in and pushing in on the horse, you're taking the idea of it up until the horse gets really close. And then when it chooses to push, that's when you set the pressure and say, come through, come back and loosen, and hang in there till they loosen. And you might have to do that a lot of times until your horse starts to loosen. And yes, the other thing that will happen is the horse will start to think, oh, I might back up. So then when you're riding your horse forward and it started to loosen in the reins, all of a sudden it's starting to back up and you didn't want that. But until you can take the brace out of your horse, until you can sort of take the brace out, then basically when the brace comes out, you'll feel as you pick up the weight of the reins, the horse will loosen through its whole body and the jaw will loosen and it'll just feel soft. And when it feels soft and you feel it loosen, and its head will just come in a little, it'll kind of, it won't, it's not going to tuck its nose in, it's just going to loosen up. And then when it loosens up, you just loosen out and you say, now travel through again, and then pick up again until your horse goes, oh, I don't have to back up when you pick up the reins. But that's why you only kind of set on it firm when they actually choose to push with their thoughts and push into it. Okay, so yeah, thanks for that question, Pierre. It's a good one. But then also you've got to start to do that with the hindquarter yields and things like that. And the more you teach that horse to step over with the feel of a rein instead of bending, you notice on those corners your horse bends a lot, takes a big wide corner with your hand out here wide. So you really got to kind of pick up and get your horse to really change and want to loosen through the body more, and that'll really help. But yeah, it will take a little time. And when I had to sort of fix that addiction, I call it, I had to sort of do a lot more transitions so the horse could figure it out itself. Now, young horses, if we do it early in stages, they kind of learn it pretty quick. But the other ones that have been wiggled and never been taught to come out of the brace themselves will take a little bit of time. And yeah, you might feel like you're causing a brace, but you, if you do it correctly, the horse has got enough time to answer the question. And if they choose to brace, well, they're going to have to choose to fix it a little bit. And that's where we can hang in. So thanks, Pierre, on that. That was a good question, and it's something that comes up a lot. But it's just my thoughts on the wiggle addiction. So just quickly, Amanda, also on that question, because you've got a question here about the reins and where is it? Just hi. You can give examples of different situations, preferably ridden. when you might take a feel on the rein or hold steady pressure and wait for the thoughts to come back. So Mandy, yours is more on the thoughts than the actual brace, but as you know, when the thoughts are stuck, you'll feel the brace. So yeah, you've got to be careful on that one. Now, what I was just saying to Pierre there is, you pick up a feel and you feel what happens. Okay, so an example would be, you know, I'm coming up like with Megan's question about her horse leaking out. I pick up the feel of the rein and the weight, and I kind of know what my horse is going to do. If my horse decides to lean with this much intention, well, the rein comes up and says, no, that door's closed, okay, so I'll firm up. But the way you pick up the rein offers your horse the suggestion first, and then if the horse chooses to keep pushing, that's when you can close the door and say that door's closed. But it's not just a closed door to just stop your horse. It's a closed, it's a redirection of your horse. So you might have to kind of pick up and say, no, maybe go over here and reset them. But and even if a horse is going out fast and leaking fast, I still got to pick it up in that kind of system, because the horse has got to, but you're setting your horse up that if it goes away and it's got a really strong thought, that when you pick up, you can come through with a bit more feel and the horse is okay with it. But, you know, if they're still thinking strong and getting out there, then there's still going to be braces in there, of course. But so yeah, now on the number two is being, or the other two response will be, or be more urgent and respond by bumping the rein or popping the flag. Okay, so you have to be careful bumping the reins if you're bumping on the bit. Okay, so the bumping the reins, you see people bump on them, and I guess, so basically I'm going to talk about it in groundwork and ridden. So when I pick up a feel on a horse and they start the brace, I'll firm up on that feel. Now if you're riding with a flag, okay, this is if you're going to ride with a flag and you're teaching your horse not to brace on the reins, because some horses really hang on to a brace, you pick up the feel and you might shake the flag and the horse will move and fidget and push. And then when they push, that's when you're firm. It's when they push, you're firm, okay? You're not kind of firming up. So basically, you pick up the weight of the rein or the rope if you're leading them out on the ground with your groundwork. You pick up the weight, and the weight starts to get that connective pressure. If they're tapped out to that connective pressure, you pop the flag. So this is in groundwork, and the horse will go, oh, sorry, I have to think to that pressure, and they look into that pressure and look in and step into that pressure. I mean with that pressure, that's what I mean. So that's when I pop the flag. The other thing you can do is you pick up that connective feel. As soon as you pick up connective feel, you know if your horse is going to go with it or not. And that's when you go, okay, should I put a little bump there to say, did you feel that connective feel? And it's not like you bump and frighten them and send them backwards at 100 miles an hour. It's like you put a bump enough to make them go, ka-chink, oh, I felt that. Oh, sorry, I'm to think with that feel and you know, whatever you've asked with that feel, they start to think about it and do it. So at the same time, you're always picking up with a steady feel, but you're watching for the decision when that feel picks up, and right away that's when you put and basically, depending on the level of disconnection or blocking out, is the level of flag and also the level of the bump. But I'd be careful when I teach people to bump, because too many people teach their horse to brace. So when you do it, it's got to be to get your horse to soften, most importantly. But even riding, yeah, if my horse starts to leak out, I'm still picking up the weight of that rein. It's when they push, you know how hard they're pushing and you know how hard they're thinking, and that's when you choose to firm up in enough to say reset, okay? But you're still coming in just as soft as if they were going to make the decision. It's you come into it soft, and when they choose to, so it's the same scenario as setting up boundaries and letting your horse find their way around the boundary instead of crashing your boundaries into your horse. So that's very important, and that sort of goes in line with Megan's question and Pierre's question. It's, you know, they decide to push, and how much they push is how much you decide to correct on it. But yeah, thanks for that question, because it goes into links with the others. Sorry, I've just Oh, sorry. I have a mare. This is Bridget. I have a mare I started under saddle 6 weeks ago. I have intermittent problems with getting her to walk out. Most common thing, you know, as young horses is they lack a little confidence. They get a little stuck at the yards where they last were and where they're comfortable, and they just don't know how to think for them. You know, they you know, some horses have heaps of confidence, and you got to kind of rein them back a little and say, you know, you've got to think with me a little more. Other horses, they just kind of get stuck. And there's a lot of horses that have been deemed lazy because they get stuck, but it's just lack of confidence. And that's why I'm very big, and I know it's difficult for people when they're trying to lead a horse out on a circle and they could just pick it up and chase it out and be so much easier. That's why all our groundwork and the way we ride is so important to get our horses to think and search, because it's very hard for a horse to commit decisions and go and believe in itself when we haven't taught it confidence on the ground and all that sort of thing. So yeah, she stalls out a lot, and I feel I have to work really hard on getting her going again. Other times she is very forward and moves out fine. Advice. So very forward and moves out fine. So it's hard with me with the question to know exactly, you know, because I'm not sitting on her watching and the days that she's... So some days she's probably just, you know, the dynamics are that she's wanting to be with the other horses at the yards. Maybe that's what's happening. And so, and then other days she's thinking over there and she's happy to go. So that's the whole idea. She's motivated to go. And you might find the days that she's moving forward, her thoughts are a bit further ahead. She's kind of going somewhere ahead of her. And she's moving out to that. So the thing is if she's not listening to your legs, okay, she's stalling and not listening to your legs, means you've got to get her understanding the legs. Now, the way you ride her will be important, okay? So what I mean is the way you ride her will give her more responsibility, and you will stop holding her up. So what I would do is in and just before you take her out and ride her down the road or up the paddock or wherever you're riding is, I would tend to just teach her how to move forward off my legs. So that could mean you just take her somewhere away from the magnet and let her go back to her magnet a little. And I know that seems like, oh, I'm just teaching her to go in her direction, but you're teaching her, if I ask you to go forward off my legs, you can go forward and do something that feels good for you, which is go back towards the direction, because that'll give her confidence, because she'll be confident to go in her direction. So I'd ask her to go towards the other horses, towards the magnet. And then I might, you know, you could get off her again, and if she's really stuck, lead her back away and then say speed up. But what'll happen is you might turn around halfway now from the magnet. So say, for instance, you got on a 100 metres from the yards, just ask her to walk fast back to the yards. Come on, and then stop her and then walk up again. So she walks forward off those legs and just let her travel back to the yards, because the thoughts will bit the yards a little and the legs will mean go forward, and she'll kind of go, oh yeah, I like that. Yep, I can move forward. And then you do that quite a few times until going back to the yards really didn't do anything for her, because you just took her back out and tried again, until you might have done 50 to 100 transitions off the legs that were positive. What I mean positive is she stepped up and went forward off your legs nice and freely. And then once she started to get nice and free in those transitions, you might start to go, okay, well, I'm going to start 100 metres from the yards, right back to the yards, and then halfway I'm going to do a U-ey. And then you're going to do a U-ey, and she's going to go, she might plonk and stop and go, no, actually, I want to go back there. So then you say legs, but you don't hold the reins, and she'll turn back around, and then you use the reins to get her to leave. Now this is hard to explain through voice without kind of showing you, but basically some horses get really stuck in their legs. You use your reins to get them to leave home and find a way to go, and use your legs sparingly, because they'll really block out on the legs, and then suddenly someone will say, you need spurs on that horse, you need to put a whip on that horse, and really the horse just needed to learn to move off your legs and free up a little. So I would try to get her to leave the yards, or you know, you got to have a fair bit of room behind you that she thinks she can go back a little bit, because that'll keep her moving. So you ask for go, but don't steer her exactly where you want to go. Let her fall back a little, because if she thinks she's free to go where she wants, she might move forward off your legs, which, well, that's a reward, isn't it? She moved forward off your legs. Then she goes, well, I'm going to go back and turn back for home because you weren't steering me straight where you wanted to go. And then you'll just go, well, that door's closed. And you'll steer her back a little, back kind of where you wanted to go. And then you leave, center the reins and leave her. And then she'll go, oh, well, there's no one pushing me this way. I'm just going to slip back over here. And by using the reins, you'll manage to keep her moving without... The reason horses get stuck is because we point and we kick, 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 kick. And they don't have a lot of confidence, so they're sucking back and we're pushing forward. So that's ways of getting her to try and think forward and go forward. So the door's closed behind, the door's open in front, most important. And only kick when she completely stalls. So what I mean is use your legs when she completely stops. Don't kind of keep her going, keep her going, keep her going. Oh, she feels like she doesn't have any... So basically, if you've taught her to speed up into a fast walk or stand to a jog going the way she wants to go and she's going okay at that, then basically if she stops, you let her stop and then you say, quick, fast walk. And then you just get in firm with the legs and say, get up to a fast walk, and then you leave her alone. And then she's going to go, oh, there's no legs on me. I'm just going to fade away and stop. And you let her stop and then you go, quick, fast walk. And you just get her up into a fast walk and then just leave her alone. And you've got to be very disciplined in not going, oh, come on, hurry, come on, you know, kick, kick, kick. Because that, you'll just lose it and you'll take over and you'll be just pushing her forward. And if you're pushing your forward horse forward with your seats and your clucks and your kicks all the time, then you're pedaling your horse. So pedaling, I'll call that pedaling. You're pedaling like a bike up a hill, pedaling. So you basically let her stop and say, speed up. And then stop, and you'll say speed up until she's going and you're just sitting quietly on her, no influence. Okay, she's just moving along underneath you and going, oh, that's my responsibility, isn't it? But the legs always have to mean speed up, which means you always have to let your horse stop or slow down. So later on, it's going to be, if your horse goes from trot to walk, you say back to trot, but then you leave them until they can hold the trot themselves. And then when you put legs on, it means go fast and not keep going. Okay. It's very easy to get into one of those keep going habits. So if you can kind of address those things, what'll happen, because you're not kicking your horse all the time, because remember, if I had a monkey on my back right now, while I'm looking this way, and it was kind of tickling and niggling me all the time, I'd be going like this all the time. And that's what we become sometimes on our horses. We're kind of the monkey on their back that's making all this white noise that actually keeps them interrupted from thinking forward. So we're kind of going, come on, keep going, come on, you know, come on, he moves the reins. And the horse is like, oh, gee, all this is happening. I'm just going to get stuck and stop. Okay? So we have to make a decision, get the horse moving, and be nice and quiet for them just to go, oh, I can think over there. I can go. Good. I'll start to move forward myself. But you've got to give them room to think. The more you're bumping and kicking and even using a dressage whip, if you went to a dressage whip, you might just still use it in the same way. And then you could irritate them more, because that starts to really put more pressure on when the horse still doesn't have the confidence to think. So yeah, get out of their way, let them do their job when they're walking, and only ask her to go when she actually stops, and then say, keep going, please. And I think that will help her. And I mean, you can sort of see how you go with that. And then maybe next live talk, if you've got, or, you know, you've got a question on it, you've tried it. And for everyone else, you know, if you go out and try it and you have a problem with it, then, you know, we can always sort of visit again and figure out where you've got to with it and where we can go with it. Yeah, cool. Thanks. I think that's everybody done. Yes, it is. Cool. Thank you, everybody, and thanks for joining. And, yeah, I hope you enjoying yourselves where you are, and I'll see you next time in a fortnight. Bye.